Well, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Ezra 7. We're going to start at the same place we were last week. We're looking at a study that we're calling Being a Disciple. And for many of you who came back last week and have been gone for the summer, we really did two different studies. One is we looked at the contrast between being a believer and a disciple. We spent most of the summer doing that. As we got toward the end of that study, then we've turned to look at being a disciple. And that's where we are. And I'm going to review just briefly as we get into the study this morning, but we're going to be in that section, Becoming a Disciple, and this part about preparing ourselves and preparing others. And we looked last week at preparing ourselves, and this morning preparing others, and then if time permits, we go to the challenge. Now, one of the problems you have when you have a bigger group is sometimes people are afraid to, it's harder to raise questions and things. If you got a question or a comment as we go through our study, be sure and raise your hand and we'll talk about it. And we're going to be looking at preparing ourselves and preparing others, becoming a disciple. Let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, thanks for each one who's here. What a great time we have as we gather. Thank you for the music and the opportunity to pray. And then really the opportunity as believers to be able to gather together to focus on our Savior, Jesus Christ, and to worship Him. And Lord, we ask you, as we think about our lives, we think about being disciples, Lord, we do want to stand before you one day and hear you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Well, we know that to be a disciple, we've seen all the different things involved and that whole idea of preparing ourselves and preparing others. And so, Lord, we want to do that. Lord, I pray that this school year will probably be the greatest of our lives, that as we go through this year, we will grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And, Lord, we ask you that you would teach us this morning great truths that we can apply in our lives now. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, go ahead and turn to Ezra 7 and verse 10. If you have your Bible, turn there. And we looked at the verse last time, and I want to talk about it. But let me give you sort of a running start. When we started our study on being a disciple, and we looked already at the contrast between being a believer and being a disciple, and that's a key thing because being a believer costs us nothing. It's a gift. We're saved by grace through faith plus nothing. God gives to us eternal life by faith. But being a disciple costs us our lives. We take up our cross and follow Him. We die to ourselves. And there is a contrast there. So we spent a good bit of time this summer talking through those issues. And then we began just several weeks ago this study of being a disciple. And we started with the whole idea of discipleship, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. That's the plan, that we're to make disciples as we're going, as we're baptizing, as we're teaching. Discipleship is really evangelism and training. And then we looked at and spent several weeks on the characteristics of a disciple. We love Christ above any other relationship. We obey the Word of God. We love others and we're faithful. Then we moved into the section becoming a disciple. And that's where we saw those two key verses, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 and Romans 12, 1 and 2, because Romans first and then Hebrews. And Romans 12, 1 and 2 talked about what do we do, and Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 talked about how do we do it. And then we moved into preparing self and others. Now I want you to remember that being a disciple is when you choose that you're going to live for Christ. So what do you do? Romans 12, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service or worship. You offer your lives to God. We're not talking salvation. There are people who get confused, and they talk about going to heaven and all this, and say you've got to give your life to Jesus to be saved and that. They're confusing discipleship with salvation. Salvation is a gift. You receive the gift of eternal life. Now, being a disciple is what do? You offer your life as a living sacrifice. He is writing to believers. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies living in holy sacrifices. He goes on to say, stop being conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by putting the Word of God in your mind. So what do? We offer ourselves. And so my challenge, and we're going to see the challenge a lot more detail toward the very end, but what do? As you begin a new year, new school year, you want to make a difference for Christ, the first thing you do is you say, I want my life to count for Christ. I say to my Savior, my life, I offer it. I do not want to be conformed to this world. I want to be transformed by your word. How do you do it? We talked about Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, and he talked about seeing that we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. He said, first of all, let's lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. First thing we do is we lay aside anything that's going to slow us down. Then he said, and then run with endurance the race set before us. The Christian life is a day in and day out, step by step, moment by moment, long distance run. There are a lot of Christians who get all excited, and they're excited for about a week, 2 weeks, a month, and then they're not excited. The Christian life is day after day after day after day after day. And most of it is not exciting. I mean, you've heard me say this before, but on Sunday, it's exciting for me. I mean, I can hardly wait for you guys to get here. I get here before 6. I'm going, where are they? What's the problem? What are they doing? Why aren't they here? You know, and the truth is, it's an exciting day. And for you, a lot of you, it's an exciting day. You come and you see your friends. You worship your Savior. You study the Bible. It's a great day. But what are Mondays like? And Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays, it's the same thing. We seek to live for Christ day after day, moment by moment. And so he says, lay aside anything that's going to slow you down. Run with endurance. That Greek word means to remain under the load. That's what the word meant. You can almost picture that donkey and all this stuff is piled up and he's just there going, okay, I'm ready. I'll just keep piling it. I'll keep going. The idea there is that in the day after day life, that we remain faithful. We do what we're supposed to do, running the race with endurance. And then the third part was looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, keeping the focus on Christ. And when we looked at that passage several weeks ago, remember we said that it means, that little Greek word literally means to take your eyes off everything else and put it on something. And so he says, take your eyes off and put it on Jesus Christ. And the way that we're going to be able to make it is keeping the focus on Christ, not the circumstances, not ourselves, that kind of thing, but keeping the focus on Christ. So becoming a disciple, we offer our lives. How do we do it? Lay aside anything, run with endurance, keeping the focus on Christ. And then last week, or maybe it was even 2 weeks ago, we began to look at preparing ourselves. And we looked at a number of things there, in fact, that's where the Ezra passage comes in. And I want you to look at it, because there are three parts to Ezra. Two of them belong to us, respond to us as far as preparing ourselves, and the other one is preparing others. Look at Ezra chapter 7, look at verse 10. Ezra had set his heart to the study of the law of the Lord, and to practice it, and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. Now this is a familiar passage. If anyone has been through our 2-2 studies or our 4-12 studies that you heard Brandon talking about, this is one of the things we do. We go to this passage and talk about it. Even when you join the church and go through the membership training seminar, this is a passage that we look at. Ezra was a scribe. He came back from Babylon to go to Jerusalem. And his point was this. He set his heart. He made a decision that he would do three things. Study the Word of God. Apply the Word of God. Teach the Word of God. And that's what we should do. Study the Word of God so we can know it. Apply the Word of God, living it out, and then teaching the Word of God to others. And that is one of the themes that we want to do in this church, is that you would know the Scripture, you would live out the Scripture in your lives, and then you would help pass on these truths to other people so they can know them and pass them on. That's the things. Well, the first two, knowing it and applying it, prepare ourselves. And we talked about this last week, and I'll go very quickly through this. But to prepare yourself, the first thing we said is you're going to have to know the Bible. And we said 2 Timothy 2:15, tonight when you come back for the fellowship supper, we have a table in there which is called our Awana table. I mean, that's one of the ministries we have. And that's for our children, and it teaches them the Bible and just everything. It's a great thing. Well, the theme verse for Awana is 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself to prove the word, and need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what we got to do. We got to get into the Word of God. We got to rightly divide it. If you remember what I did last week, we had sort of a little Bible quiz. I pulled out just a whole bunch of questions and threw them out. And most you did great. You answered a lot of them. I mean, they're, you know, just questions, because we said that if you study the Bible, you need to know the Bible in three big areas. Aspect one is you just need to know the facts and the dates and the books and the people and all that. And then you need to know theology, which is the whole idea of redemption and justification and how all that fits. And then you need to know the practical aspects of the philosophy of ministry, what the purpose of the church and how it all fits, and spiritual gifts and all those kind of things. You need to know those kind of things. You need to know what you believe and why you believe it. And the way that that begins is that you study God's Word. And so we talked about that last week. And I said that the two issues that I think you've got to, first of all, be grounded on, especially when you go into a college community with people from all over, is number one, what exactly is our salvation message? And that is simply by grace through faith, people are saved. You're going to have many opportunities to talk to people. I talked to a girl yesterday. She said on one side of her is a Muslim in her dorm. One side is a Muslim, one side is a Mormon, and one side is a Hindu, right across the hall. She says, I guess I'm going to have some opportunities to share. I said, probably so. Yeah. That's incredible. Are you ready? You're going to have to dig the Word, understand it. And I think the two big issues is, number one, what is the gospel? What do we tell people to do to be saved, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? And the second issue is that whole idea of security, because I've seen so many Christians who put their faith in Christ but don't understand the security that they have in Jesus Christ. They do not have the assurance of their salvation, and they struggle. And so it's a key that you have the assurance of your salvation, understanding your security. Those are the two big issues. And then we talked about all kinds of things. The second thing that we dealt with, and I said the Word of God is the key, the second aspect is then making application in your own life. Not only do we have to know it, but we have to apply it. And I used a great verse that I think is powerful. And if you would, go turn over to 1 Timothy 4. And we looked at it, but I want to hit on it one more time very quickly. And then we'll get a little bit further as we start thinking about what do we do for people to help others be trained and prepared. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 is a great verse. And I talked about it last week that Paul talks to Timothy and he says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because of your youthfulness." And when you hear that, you think maybe somebody really young, but Timothy was probably around 30 years old, and that was considered to be young in the sense, because in that culture, the older were the more mature and the wise, and as an old person got older, they didn't put them out to pasture. They didn't say, "Oh man, you're old. Man, you don't know anything. You got to have a cup on your ear so you can hear." I mean, that's not what they said in that culture. In that culture, the older you became, the more respected you became. And our culture is not that way. And so when Paul talks to Timothy, he says, first of all, don't let anybody look down on you because you are young. And notice, this is a challenge to us in application because we're to walk worthy of the calling which we've been called. He says, be an example. Look at verse 12 again. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but in your speech and your conduct and your love and your faith and your purity, show yourselves as an example. The word for example there literally means a type, a pattern. What people are supposed to look at you, at us, and say, "Now that's the way you're supposed to live." And even though some would consider many of you in this room young, don't let anybody look down on you because you're young. You be an example right now in your words and in your conduct, in your love, in your faith, in your purity. That's what this talks about. It's a very powerful passage. It says, your words, that's your speech, your conduct, that's how you live, your love, that's how you relate to others, your faith, your faithfulness, and your purity. And in that passage, that word for purity there has an idea of sexual purity. Show yourself an example. You got to be different. And so we see that not only do we need to know the Scripture, I mean dig it, but then you got to live it out, because it does us no good to know it and not live it out. What happens when we know and don't live it out? But what? It puffs up. Knowledge always puffs up. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and the Corinthians knew a lot, but they were living bad. And he wrote and talked to them, and he says, knowledge puffs up. And you've got to be careful when you dig the Scripture, and you begin to be able to put it together, and you begin to say, "Hey, I know this, and I know this, and I know this." Wow. You've got to be careful, because you've got to start applying that, because if you don't, you'll just be knowledgeable, and you'll be puffed up. You'll be a prideful person. You've got to know it and apply it. This is how we prepare ourselves to be disciples. Now, we talked about the fact that we offer our lives as living sacrifices. We run the race with endurance, laying aside anything that's going to slow us down, keeping our focus on Christ. And then to prepare ourselves, we study the Scripture knowing it, and then we apply it, being examples to others. Now, this is a huge challenge to you. And this will change your life. And I've told you my story, but I trusted Christ when I was 19. But when I was 25, I was coaching at Mississippi State, and I came home from spring practice one day, and my life had, I knew I was going to heaven, and yet I was not living for Christ. My life was miserable. My heavenly Father was disciplining me as his child. And I came in from practice one day and I made a decision. I remember it was at night and I just said, "Okay, Lord, I want my life to count for you." I did Romans 12, 1 and 2. I want my life to count for you. I want to begin to know the Scripture. I want to live out the Scripture. I want to live for you. My life has never been the same. If you have done that, you already know that your life is never the same as a believer. When you come to that point and you say, "I want my life to count for you. I give you my life. I want to live for you. I want to know the Scripture. I want to live it out. I want to make a difference. I want to go through this life having an impact for you." If you've done that already, you already know that you're not the same. It'll never be the same. There are some of you maybe in this room are saying, that's kind of a commitment. Yeah, it is. It is. That's why it's called dying to yourself. That's why it says take up your cross. That's why it says offer your life as a living sacrifice. It is a commitment. And if we're going to be people who are going to make an impact for Jesus Christ in this community, I mean, think about it. There are at least, and I'm not sure, I've heard two or three different figures, but some say almost 40,000 people in this community, not counting the collegiate students. You add another 20-something thousand, there's 60,000 people in this community. Many of them do not know Christ. You have been brought, many of you are not from here, and you've come here to be a student for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, you know. Why did he bring you here now? Why did he put that person across the hall or in that house or in that neighborhood? And we ask the same thing about our families and our friends. Why are we here at this time? Because we're the ones that God wants to use. We want to be faithful for our lives to count for Jesus Christ. And it's going to happen if you're a disciple. So that's sort of that challenge. We're going to get into a little bit more of the challenge a little bit later, but we prepare ourselves by knowing the Word of God and then applying it in our lives. Now, let's move to the part. How do we prepare others? Well, in Ezra 7, remember the three things? He said he was going to study the law of the Lord. That was to study it. He was going to practice it. That's to apply it. And the third thing is what? To teach it. The way you prepare others, the way you get others so they can be disciples, is you take the truths, the principles, the things you know from God's Word, and you pass it on to others. You're in 1 Timothy. Just flip over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to give you a verse that you hear us name all the time. We always keep saying, get in one of those 2-2s or one of those 4-12s. This happens to be the 2-2. 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. What you are to do is to take truths from God's Word, and you're to pass those on to somebody else. Now, before I even get into the verse, I want to raise this question to you. You may say, well, okay, JB, I want to live for Christ. I want my life to count for Christ. I want to be a disciple, and I'm growing as a Christian. But how do I know what to teach anybody? I mean, what if that person across the hall, I actually talked to them about Jesus, and they trusted Christ, and then I said something like, we ought to meet together. What in the world am I going to tell them? Well, one of the things that we've tried to do at the church to help you is to give you some tools. And one of those is what we call the 4-12 and the 2-2. The 4-12, and we're getting it put together. It should be put together this week. We've rewritten the whole thing. But it's like a little workbook with a teacher's manual and the student manual that you could take that and you could teach somebody basic truths by using that. Now, the ideal thing is that you go through a 4-12 first. You go through it. It takes 15 weeks. And when you get through it, then you've been through it, and then we'll give you a teacher's thing, and we'll give you as many student things as you want. Everybody that you can get to meet with you, we'll get them for you. And you can teach them basic truths. So you don't have to say, I don't know what to tell them. Listen, that thing tells what exactly is the gospel, how to present the gospel, security of the believer, the difference between being a disciple and a believer, how to study the scripture, prayer, quiet times, the purpose of the church. That's all in those 15 weeks, 15 lessons. So if you are serious about saying, I would like to pass on truth to other people, but I'm not exactly sure what truth to pass on or even how to put it together, we got it for you. And the ideal thing, as Brandon talked about, is get in a 4-12 this semester. And by the time this semester is over, you will have been through it. And then you can be ready, that Brandon can get you some stuff, and you can be ready in the second semester to take other people through it. So you can be discipling others. And that's what he says. The things that you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. Titus chapter 2 verse 1 says, teach the things that are sound doctrine. You got to teach the things from the Word of God. Let me tell you, we live in a society that people are so tied into their emotions and their feelings, they don't even get to the Scripture. They just talk about, this is what I feel is right. You know, the truth is, it doesn't matter what people feel. What matters is, what does the Scripture say? That's where the truth is. Because our feelings can be wrong, but the Bible never is. So you need to dig it. As we said, if you're going to prepare ourselves, we study the Word, we live it out, and as we get ready to help others be prepared, we're going to teach them. Now, I want you to look at the verse again. It says, and the things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to what? Faithful people. There are going to be some people that you're going to meet with, and they won't show up. You say, would you like to meet every Thursday at 2 o'clock? You know, and they'll go, yeah, oh yeah, yeah, 2 in the afternoon. Yeah, I'd be glad to. For a college student, it could be 2 in the morning. You know, who knows? But you say, would you like to meet? And they say, yeah. And you get everything all ready, and they come that first time, and they talk about it, and you say, okay, look, I'll see you next week. Great, great. And then you're sitting there, and they never showed up. And you call them, and you say, I thought we were going to meet Tuesday at 2. Oh, golly, yeah, something came up. Well, you want to meet next week? Well, sure, yeah, okay, well, I'll meet you then. And they don't show up. See, there's some people who are faithful, some people aren't. You've got to invest your life in those who are faithful. That's what he says. Take the things you've been taught, entrust these to faithful people. You're going to find that there are people that God's going to bring in your life. Maybe somebody you lead to Christ. It may be somebody in that dorm, somebody in the house, somebody in the neighborhood, somebody at work, whatever, that God's going to bring them into your life. And they're going to be somebody that says, hey, I want to know this stuff. And they're going to be beating you there. When you're supposed to meet them at 2, you get there at 5 to 2, they're already there. They're saying, where you been? I'm ready. I already worked. I worked two things ahead. Faithful people. I always look at faithful, this whole thing, I call them fat people, faithful, available, and teachable. Faithful, that has that desire to be there. 1 Corinthians 4:2, it is required of stewards to be found faithful. The F is faithful, the A is available. Available. You know, there's some people who say, I sure would like to do that, but you know, I can't because I got this and this and this and this and this and this and this. And I sure would like to come, but I can't because I got this and this and this. They're not available. You want to grow as a Christian and you want to make a difference and you want to invest in those people. You want to invest in those people that are going to be available. And then the third thing is teachable, and I think that is the key. Open to the Word. You know, you can tell real quickly if a person's teachable or not. There's some people that say, I already know everything I believe. Don't show me anything because I don't want to mess up what I already know. I don't want something might be off a little bit different and then I'm going to have to start thinking through this thing again. Be open to the Word. Dig the Word because there are going to be times that there are going to be things that you have been taught that you're going to find in the Scripture aren't exactly right. Or at least it doesn't add up in the way you thought it did. And you got to study the Scripture yourself and you got to be teachable. I think the saddest thing is the unteachable person because they never grow. They never grow. Look what he says. I know we've only got about 5 minutes. By the way, let me stop for a second. Any questions, comments on anything that we've talked about? Anybody awake? It's some powerful stuff here and it is a challenge. Yeah, Matt.
When you have somebody that's not faithful, how do you deal with the relationship after you make the determination that they're not faithful and that you're not going to meet with them anymore?
Okay, good question. It says if you got somebody and you started with, you were going to meet with them and then you realize they're not faithful and they're not going to meet with you, how do you deal with that relationship? Well, a lot of times, it won't be a good relationship after that. Sometimes, but most of the time, if you just said, hey, anytime you'd ever like to meet, I'll meet with you. But for right now, it looks like you're too busy or some things are going this way. So look, let's not meet right now. But anytime you really want to meet, I'm here for you. Usually that'll keep the relationship going. You don't just say, hey, you're not faithful, so I'm not going to meet with you. Out the door. No, what you say is, you know, right now, it looks you're so busy. I know we've tried to meet the last 3 times and you hadn't been able to get here. And it looks like maybe you're just so busy right now, but I'm right here for you. So anytime you want to meet, if you'll just let me know. But right now, let's not plan on meeting for a while since I know that it's just a tough semester and you've got so many things going. That's probably the best way to put it. And then usually that leaves the door open that sometimes later they'll come back. But it is hard. In fact, I'll do this. If a person actually says, I want to meet with you, I'll try to meet with them even if in the past they've not been very faithful because who knows what's happening in their life right then. So you just do the best you can with the time that you have. But the truth is, the people, you're going to be able to find that the people you truly invest are the faithful people. They're the ones that you get to have the time with, and that's where you can invest your life. Anything else? Any other comments, questions, anything? Yeah, Maynard.
I wonder if at least you ought to pray daily for them.
Oh, great.
Because the good Lord is able to change even unfaithful people to be faithful.
That's a great one. The truth is, yeah, pray for them. In fact, as we talked about our relationship with people, we're doing a study on Sunday night about relationship with believers, relationship with unbelievers. In the relationship with unbelievers, one of the things we do is pray. With the relationship with even with believers that we're trying to build into, and maybe it's not working very well, is just keep on praying. I mean, we've got to pray for people, and we've got these little books that we'll give you if you want one. We just call them our prayer books. It's got a place in there that you can pray for people daily. People, you know, pray for certain people on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Pray for people Monday, daily. Then pray for prayers that you're just going to carry on and on and on and on. So we've got all that kind of thing. It's a place to do a journal if you want to. If you'd like one of those, just come by the office and say, I want one of those prayer books. I found that it really helps me maintain and keep my prayer time going, because let's say I was going to be meeting with Matt, and let's just say Matt is not, as we said, not doing very good. So I say, well, I'm gonna pray for Matt every day, and maybe next semester he might work out where he wants to start meeting again. And so that, as Maynard said, pray for the people. There are people in your dorms, your houses, your neighborhoods, your jobs. There are people right now that you come in contact with. Some of them are non-Christians, and you're going to tell them about Christ. Many of them are Christians who do not have a knowledge of the Scripture at all. And you may be able to impact their life and get to that time where you can begin to share with them the great truths. And so you begin to prepare them to be a disciple. Because that's how the world has changed. It's not changed by believers. It's changed by disciples. Because there are a whole bunch of believers. And the truth is, a lot of believers, you can't even tell they're believers. By the way they live. By their values, their dreams, their goals, they're not much different than the world. So just being a believer is not going to change this world, but being a disciple, when you decide that your life is going to count for Christ, and you're going to lay aside anything that's slowing you down, and you're going to run with endurance, you're going to keep your focus on Christ, you're going to offer your life as a living sacrifice, you're going to dig the Word of God, you're going to apply the Word of God, and then you're going to invest your life in other people, teaching them the truth, that's going to change this world. And that's what we got to do. And each one of you, if you would have that mind of saying, I want my life to count. And the truth is, many of you think, I'm not supposed to teach other people. That's a preacher's job. No, that's all our jobs. Equip the saints, do the work of the ministry, build up the body of Christ. That's Ephesians 4:12. That's the 4:12 study is based on that Ephesians passage. Equip one another to do the ministry to build up the body of Christ. That's our goal. So before we even get to the challenge, and I think we've got to stop here in just a second, we're going to talk more about preparing others next time in more detail. But before we even get to that challenge, I challenge you today and myself to make a difference for Christ. That your life will count for Him. If you've never come to that point in your life as a believer that you want your life to count for Christ, I want you to think about it at least this week. What do I want to do with my life? What do I want to see happen? Am I going to offer my life as a living sacrifice? Am I going to lay aside, run with endurance, keeping the focus on Christ, digging the Word of God, applying it in my life, and investing my life in others? If that's what you want to do, you can be a disciple, and we will help you in any way we can to not only be a disciple, but make disciples. That's the plan. That was the bill, wasn't it? Darn. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for this morning. Thank you for this group of believers. Lord, I just ask you that you'll use us even beyond what they could imagine. And Lord, I pray for us that first of all, Lord, I pray that everyone in this room has already trusted in Christ as Savior. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. And Lord, for all of us who have trusted Christ, I pray, Lord, that we'll come to that realization that we want to be a disciple, that we'll offer our lives as living sacrifices, we'll run with endurance the race set before us, we'll remove anything that slows us down, we'll keep our focus on Christ, we will dig your word, knowing it, and then applying it in our lives, being prepared and able and trained so that we can take the things we've been taught and entrust them to faithful people who will be able to do the same thing. Lord, I ask you to stir up the hearts of those in this room that's what they'll want to do this year, and that we'll be excited about that. But we know it is a cost to stand for you. Use them, Lord, for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.